And a warm-hearted good morning. Welcome once again to our Brandpunt Studios, where we tackle relevant issues that affects our Christian world on a daily basis. Our topic for discussions: pastors, ministers, dominies, reverends, bishops. Well, they're human too. Do you have an unspoken belief that your pastor, your minister, your dominie, perhaps your reverend or bishop, should be perfect? Keeping in mind they are simply people called and anointed by God to feed and nourish and care for, develop and lead God's people, the church. And let's be honest, with the complex mixture of ages, races, personalities, backgrounds, cultures, experience, mindsets and expectations in the church, this is not an easy task. Can I say, but God? Did you know they fight the same battles that you're fighting, and many times on more intense levels, because they are on the front lines, and the enemy know that if he can weaken the leader, it will weaken the body. If he can smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Like you, at times, well, they get tired and frustrated, don't exercise sufficient self-control, wonder if God is hearing their prayers, battle insecurity, or are overcome by a sense of failure, having spiritually dry seasons, making poor parenting decisions, neglecting their spouses, making poor health choices, mismanaged finances, succumb to sexual temptations, and at times, because of weight and pressure of the responsibility of leading and caring for God's people, they just want to quit, walk away from it all. Can I say again, but God? Just like you, they are on a spiritual journey of becoming more and more like Christ on a daily basis and growing in the things of God. They are ahead of you in some areas, let's be honest, and behind you in other areas. At times, you stumble and fall along the way, and at times, they stumble and fall along the way. A key difference, though, is that your journey and process is more private. You see, theirs is more public. When you stumble and you fall, you have the option to metaphorically, quote-unquote, drop the curtain and hide to heal. But when they fall, most times their role demands that they stay on stage, in the spotlight, and lead while they bleed. This is not easy. Can't be. Well, join us as Brandpunt looks at church leaders and the daily battles they fight, because they're human too. Don't stray or go away. We'll be back with our respondents right after this. Wel, ons het vir pastoor Neville Norden aan die hoof van Lewende Woord genooi om sy hart met ons te kom deel. Pastore, predikante, dominees, kerkleiers, ook maar net vlees en bloed. Neville, jou ervaring, wat is die uitdagings wat ons kerkleierskap dagliks in die gesig staar, ten spyte van die feit dat gemeentelede van hulle verwag om perfect te wees in elke opsig? Wat is jou belewenis?
Wel, my eerste woord is dat hy wat nie sonde het nie, gooi die eerste klip. Dat's 'n prediker wat van sy vrou skei en ek gaan sien hom en ek sê van broer, wat het verkeerd geloop? Hy sê, is 100% haar skuld. Ek sê, kom besoek jou volgende Sondag en ek bring 'n emmer klippe saam. Ek wil hier met jou gemeente met klippe gooi. Hy is nou nog kwaad vir my. Ons word uitgedaag ook met situasies, want jy het altyd tydsprioriteite en die prioriteit om my tyd in te deel met my familie, met probleme in die gemeente en dan met versoekings.
Ja.
Ek het 3 maande nie my vrou uitgeneem nie. En ek sê van, ek neem jou vanavond uit vir ete. Die dag hou op, hy sê, ek het hulp nodig, anders gaan ek selfmoord pleeg. En hulle mag dalk dink ek was kras. Ek sê, broer, ek bel iemand, nee, jy moet my help. Ek sê, weet jy, as ek nie my vrou uitneem vanavond vir ete nie, het ons moord hier. So ons is die uitdaging. Hy sê, man, ek gaan selfmoord pleeg. Ek sê, doen dit net hier, anders moet ons die bloed skoon maak na die tyd. Hy is toe baie kwaad vir my, maar en miskien klink dit hard, maar as my huwelik tot niet gaan, dan is my bediening tot niet. So, as ek die eerste ding sê wat ons uitdaging het, is prioriteite. Het ek genoeg tyd vir my kind, vir my vrou, het ek genoeg tyd vir myself?
Toch aan die einde van die dag is daar een verwachting by gemeentelede dat jylle perfect moet wees, die chief cook and bottle syndroom. Jylle moet alles kan doen. Een predikant sê nou die dag, wanneer hy met verlof gaan, dan sê hy vir ander mense, hy is eintlik een mense hulpbronbesieder, want mense tree vreemd op na by predikante, en toch is jylle ook net vlees en bloed. Vanself, so die uitdagings, dit wat jy nou noem, wat 'n volgorde sou jy sê, is dinge belangrik en moet die gemeente net verstaan? Is dit God eerste, familie tweede en dan die gemeente, of wat is jou belewenis, wat 'n raad gee jy volgend?
My voorstel, op 'n tyd is my vrou dodelik siek, ek is by die gemeente, en die hoofprediker bel my, sê jou vrou is dodelik siek, jy moet onmiddellik kom, en nou moet ek 'n besluit neem. Want ek neem dienste, was my plek, was in Zanien, en ons het 'n uitstaande wonderwerk gehad, wat die dorp aan die praat gehad het, en nou sê die prediker vir my, jong, vanavond is die plek gepak, nou moet ek huis toe gaan, my vrou is siek, die prediker wat my gebel het, sê vir my, ons weet nie of jou vrou op sterwe lê nie, nou gaan sit ek in die toilet, ek sê, Here praat met my met 'n nuwe Bybel, ek maak die Bybel oop, nou lees ek, hy wat nie moeder en vader verlaat nie, nou bel ek die prediker terug, ek sê, kom nie, die Here sê, ek moet bly. Hy sê vir my, wat is jou prioriteite? Ek sê, die Here eerste, ek tweede, my vrou derde, my kinders vierde, die gemeente vyfde. Hy sê, oké, okay, kan ek jou vrou sê, jy ry oor 5 minute. Ek sê, nou, kom? Hy sê, jy het nou net gesê, die Here eerste, jy tweede, jou vrou derde, jou gemeente kom eers vyfde. So ek het daar 'n les geleer, en ek moet 'n prioriteitslys, en my gemeente het 'n verantwoordelikheid, maar ek is die hoof van my huis, en ek het 'n verantwoordelikheid by die huis, en dit was my ontsettende les, en nou het ek gaan sit, ek kan die Bybel oopmaak, andersins sit ek en ek maak die Bybel oop, en daar staan, en Judas het homself gaan ophang, is dit 'n manier om God se stem te hoor, nou maak ek die Bybel toe, maak hom weer oop, doen jy dieselfde. Is dit nou een woord van die Here om myself te gaan ophang? En daarom moet ek 'n prioriteitslys hê. En mense is beteken vir my kwaad. Ek skakel my telefoon af in die nag, want môre het ek weer 'n vol dag. Nou sê iemand, sê my vrou of my ma is dood in die nag, ek sê nou bid ons vir haar die volgende dag, of ons begrawe haar. Want ek moet slaap. Ek kan 10:00 die nag niks doen nie.
Pastoor Newell, kan ek so vir jou vra? Ons stryd is nie vlees en bloed nie, en toch weet ons, die vyand kom baie keer soos 'n kanker van binne af. As hy die leier kan vernietig, dan sal die liggaam ook vernietig, die kerk uit mekaar uitval. As hy die pastoor van sy troon kan afstamp, dan sal die skape ook op 1000 hewels gaan dwaal. Wat wil jy vir 'n kerkleier vanmôre sê, wat hierdie uitdagings in die gesig staar, so ter afsluiting, want aan die einde van die dag, julle is toch ook maar net vlees en bloed.
Die beste is dat, ek dink as ek geleer het, is dat ek iemand kry teenoor wie ek verantwoording doen. Dit wil sê dat ek saam, as ek in die bediening is, 'n ander bedienaar het, met wie ek kan gaan praat, en sê, dis my uitdagings, en bid saam met my, help my, soos my vrou vir my sê, as ek en sy probleme het, nou wie gaan sien, of wie gaan sien ons, want dan praat die hele gemeente daarvan. So ons werk ook deur goed, as gevolg van die druk van ons omstandighede. Al wat ek vir predikers kan sê, is dat jy het nodig om jou prioriteite reg te kry, het dit nou genoem, jy het self tyd nodig, en dan tyd nodig om te sê, Here, waarmee sukkel ek? En as ek sê, waarmee sukkel ek? Ek noem iets wat dalk negatief is, ek loop saam met 'n prediker in Clifton op die strand, en hier kom 'n meisie sonder 'n boostuk verby. Nou, loer hy so uit die kant van sy oog uit, en dan sê ek van, broer, het jy 'n probleem? Nee, ek het nie 'n probleem nie. En nou moet ek kom en sê, het ek regtig 'n probleem? So ons moet ook eerlik wees met onsself, het ek 'n probleem dat ek, as ek kan ek versoek word, want die vyand sal kom, as hy Jesus versoek het, sal hy my versoek. En as hy Dawid kon laat val met die versoeking, wat van my? So ek moet besef dat ek in versoeking gaan kom, en ek moet leer om in daardie situasie die naam van die Here aan te roep. Maar vir my prakties en bediening, byvoorbeeld as ek 'n begrafnis gaan neem, en ek het net 'n dame wat die sang gaan lei by die begrafnis, dan kan ek haar nie saam met my laat ry nie. Want mense ken my, dan sê hulle sien, daar hy nie wil met 'n vreemde vrou. So ek het sekere reëls. En dan as ek het byvoorbeeld altyd graag 'n bietjie wyn by ete gedrink, maar nou kom 'n jong ouetjie wat in die gemeente is, en maak my yskas oop, en die Here vra my, dink jy hy sal struikel? Ek sê, Here, hy moontlik. So Romeine 14 sê, as my vryheid iemand laat struikel,
ja,
so ek bereid om my vryheid op te offer. So ek moet kom by 'n plek waar ek sekere beginsels en voorwaardes stel en daarvolgens leef. Dit beteken nie dat ek nie in versoeking gaan kom nie.
Net so ter afsluiting, ons het letterlik 'n minuut vir gemeentelede wat baie keer die herder van 'n gemeente so verdruk tot op 'n punt waar hy voel hy wil wegstap van die bediening af. Wat sou u woord wees vir gemeentelede ter afsluiting dan van die program?
My woord sou wees dat ek het 'n sekretaresse wat my beskerm. En nou sou mense met my beklei en sê, maar jy kan nie by hom uitkom nie. Ek sê, ek is een mens, was 24 uur. So, weer eens, en as ek nie gaan die skanse opsit nie, so ek wil vir die gemeente vra, die gemeente is, erken die feit dat jou prediker 'n mens is, en dat hy ook tyd met sy familie en vrye tyd nodig het. Hy kan nie 24/7 werk nie. Wees tevrede as jy nie onmiddellike afspraak kan kry.
So sê pastoor Neville Norden aan die hoof dan van Lewende Woord, 'n man wat verseker sal weet van die uitdagings wat pastore, predikante, dominees, reverends, bishops in die gesig staar. Neville, baie dankie dat jy met ons gesels het hier by Brandpunt.
Baie dankie, ek vertrou dat dit iemand sal help, en die groot ding is om 'n dader van die woord te wees. En as jy nie 'n dader is nie, erns, as jy kompromie aangaan, tot watter mate gaan jy kompromie aangaan? Baie dankie dat ek kon deel wees van die program.
Nou ja, ons het Dominee Colin Smit van Kerk Sonder Mure ook genader vir sy opinie. Hy vra nederig om verskoning, vas met ander verpligtinge, maar hy het 'n kort gedagte ook met ons gedeel oor die onderwerp van bespreking. Jou dominee, jou pastoor, jou predikant is ook maar net vlees. Dominee Colin, oor na jou.
Kort opmerking aan my kant is, ek dink dis die probleem veral van al hoe kleiner gemeentes, is dat ouens baie blootgestel voel en dat hy alles moet doen. Dink in 'n groter gemeente konteks kan 'n mens tog ruimte kry en bepaalde vriendskappe hê waar jy 'n mens kan wees. Ek dink wat soms gebeur, en hier sommer net 'n paar los opmerkings, is as ek dink aan teologie studente, hoekom hak die tokke lokke so uit baie keer? Dan is dit waarskynlik omdat hulle wannabe people too. Hulle wil ook net nie gebrandmerk word of gelabel word nie. En ja, dis maar 'n fishbowl manier, nee, dis fishbowl lewe. En dis so vir jou kinders ook. En dit laat mens nou soms voel dis so onregverdig, want selfs in ons konteks wat 'n stadsgemeenskap is, word my kinders nog steeds gesien as die dominee se seun, die dominee se dogter, die dominee se seun. Dit is nou ons drie kinders, en dis nie vir altyd lekker nie, maar hulle weet dit kom maar met die prentjie. Nie pakkie, maar anyway, baie dankie en baie sterkte hoor.
I've got Pastor Dwayne Foxley online. Dwayne, in a nutshell, just your background involvement with the body of Christ here on earth, please.
Good day, yes. I've been involved in ministry for almost 25 years. And it has been a joy because I also grew up in a household where my parents were themselves leaders in the local church for many, many years. So I grew up in that milieu. And it's always a wonderful privilege to serve people, and I have a very soft spot in my heart for leaders, and it's a real joy for the last few years to be involved with encouraging and facilitating leaders as they pursue God's higher calling for their life, because leadership is a calling, just as being a doctor and a nurse It's not just a career opportunity. It really is a calling from God.
Excellent that you say that, because even as a leader, you are human too. You have heard the introduction to this program, and people listening to us right now might say, yes, I know they are human, but I still have a higher level of expectation from my church leader. I expect from him perfect manners, perfect spouse, perfect children, perfect scriptural knowledge, perfect understanding. What would you say to that?
I think they're living in a dream world, but yes, if you look at the biblical examples of leadership, some of your earliest leaders like Aaron and Moses, these were not perfect men, and these were men who sat in the very glory of God. So, you know, if we are going to have those sort of expectations, then somewhere along the line, we're going to be disappointed, because sometimes we project onto our leaders this godlike figure, and they're not God, but they do hear from the Lord, and what they are supposed to do as leaders is they're just there to facilitate so that we as the body as well can start hearing from God as well. They're not there to replace God. They're not there to be God's vicarious representative and everything else of God disappears. And I think that the first fault we make as the congregation is we treat them like God, and we have these godlike expectations of them, and they are human. They are on a journey themselves that is spiritual, that is growing. They're learning. Some leaders, I mean, in countries where Christians are persecuted, have been leaders for only a few weeks, and Christians for only 3 years, maybe 2 years, maybe a few months. And they're put in a difficult position of being leaders, and they have never been leaders before in their lives. So, yeah, I think we need to reassess as a congregation what our expectations are, and we need to be a little kinder and understanding that they are just people.
Does that mean, at the end of the day, because it's expected of you to be, can I say, and I use that in inverted commas, chief cook and bottle washer, does that mean that you also struggle sometimes hearing from God, battle insecurities, overcome senses of failure? And what are your daily struggles as a pastor?
I always say to people that when God chooses leaders, sometimes he also chooses the worst to be the best example. You know, he takes people that, like Paul, and, you know, men and women who've really maybe not met the mark well before Christ, suddenly God uses them to bring glory to his name. So he uses ordinary people with their failings. And, you know, I have my failings as well. I've burnt out at least once or twice, and I've had to learn to deal with my fears. I've gone actually to ministries like LL where they've prayed for me. And God has given me victory over fear, which kept my life in a certain place for many, many years. And God set me free from these crazy fears. And fear is a real relevant thing for us. It's a relevant thing for normal people, everyday people, but now leaders as well. That we're not meeting the mark, that we're not making sufficient funding, that we're not reaching certain goals. You know, that we are disappointing people, that we are not meeting expectations. These things just drive the fear even more. And, you know, you have to learn at the feet of Jesus. And when leaders don't do that, and when congregations are also driving the leader instead of giving room for the leader to be led by God, you know, there is a recipe for disaster somewhere along the line, yeah.
We've said in the intro to this program that the enemy knows if he can weaken the leader, it will weaken the body. If he can smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. But don't we sometimes find that the problems and the expectations comes from within? It's within the congregation that these concerns rises up that try and get rid of the shepherd, that try and smite the leader. What is your understanding?
Definitely. You know, the scriptures tell us that the enemy goes around like a roaring lion. And his whole goal is to see families and children and as well as leaders being devoured. That has always been his goal. So if you all three, if you're parents, if you're married and you're a leader, you've got a triple whammy. And so he sends his agents of discord, and they don't always know that they're agents. And the enemy does use people, just like God will try using people and making use of people in his kingdom. the enemy will use situations to sow lies and sow discord and sow disunity against leadership. And, you know, we, not as leaders, have got to watch out for that, but even as congregations, we've got to assess not how we just choose leaders, but how we maintain our relationship with our leaders, because they've got to carry us through those next few years.
What do we say to pastors listening this morning, congregants listening this morning? How do we restore pastors? You've made mention of being burned out yourself, suffering that burnout effect. How do we restore our pastors to faith, to active service, if they've fallen in sin, if they failed in one way or the other? Can it be done? And what does the scripture say with regards to that?
Well, you know, besides the church discipline issue, which is obviously the thing of each church where they have to decide, I mean, looking past that, the restoration is very important. And the first thing I tell leaders is please, 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 and congregations, this goes for you as well, learn to live and operate from a place of rest. Oftentimes we see busyness as a good sign, as a sign of spirituality, but it's not. You know, when we rely on the power of God to work through us and the ability of God and the resourcefulness of God to work through us, great things begin to happen in our congregation. And many times where the fault begins is because the pastor has this expectation on him that he's got to do everything, that he's got to be everything. But when pastors act from a place of rest, they're saying, God, we are relying on you and not on ourselves. And, you know, the Lord Jesus told people, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he wants to give us rest. And the second point I would say is learn from the feet of Jesus. I find too many pastors are not learning from the feet of Jesus because they're too busy and they're not hearing him. And then thirdly, I would say, that once we are learning from the feet of Jesus, make sure you have prayer support. You know, it doesn't have to be inside the church, but you need prayer support. I have a dedicated group of people that pray for me and my wife in the work that we do. And without them, I know life would be 10 times harder. And, you know, we despise prayer because we feel at times it's a small, insignificant thing. And many times, the first thing I ask leaders, do you have prayer support? And so many of them are answering in the negative, that don't have prayer support. And I often find that is one of the key areas where I see people are failing. Prayer is, the Lord is using prayer to carry me, and the body of Christ is supporting me, because then I can share my heaviness with trusted people who are praying for me. I can share with them my problems. If I have family problems, I tell them and they pray for me. Because, you see, leaders have a bullseye on the back of their backs, and Satan is gunning for them. But, you know, our God is powerful, and he's greater than our problems. But the Bible says, pray without ceasing. And that is what we don't do sufficiently, especially in light of the leaders.
To pastors, as we said in the intro, who are leading whilst bleeding, your final words, your final words to them of encouragement this morning, because after all, they're human too, ministers, reverend, bishops, clergy, your final words to them.
My word would be to this, is that we are accountable to God firstly, before we are accountable to people. Sometimes we're going to make unpopular decisions with people, and it may even cause you to be unpopular with the church. But we are answerable to God. Make sure that whatever you do, that you are obedient and loving him first with all your heart. Number two, do not make ministry your first responsibility. Make sure that your family is your first responsibility after God. Ministry is third or fourth. We learned this mistake the hard way, and it cost us many times, and God had to teach us the order of things. And finally, make sure you have healthy boundaries. Make sure that you put those boundaries in place. My favorite word that I've learned over the years, believe it or not, it's so concise and so powerful. It's the word no. And we are allowed to use the word no. And it's going to offend people, but use the word no every now and again, because sometimes God says to you no, and we are allowed to say no. And finally, also Learn to find someone to relate to as a sounding board, not someone in your local church that's your fellow leader, someone outside of the church from a, maybe even a different denomination. I want to say something to you. Many times our churches develop a cult-like environment or culture. And by having an outside ear and an outside opinion and thought can really help us get a bit of balance, because without healthy balance, we're going to struggle in ministry. And, you know, we sit with many lies and a lot of deception that we've got to filter through, and an outside ear and that outside advice and wisdom from God through someone can make such a big difference.
Well, it's very clear through our discussion, there's a huge weight, a huge pressure, a huge responsibility on leaders of leading and caring for God's people.
Yes.
To the extent that sometimes you guys just feel you want to quit. Your final words, yes, literally in a minute, your final words of heed unto congregants, to the congregation listening this morning, the listeners of Radio Pulpit.
You don't always realize that your pastor or your leader or whatever title you give them, he may be or she may be on the verge of giving up. But what you need to do for them today is get on your hands and knees for them and start praying for them. Start encouraging them. And remember that they also need love and support like any normal person. And do us a favor, don't put us on a pedestal, because we are not God. We are just ordinary people who are there to lead, not by domination, but by example. We are there not to lead from behind, from in front, but we are encouraging constantly from behind, so that you, as a congregational member, but also as a child of the Lord Jesus, can walk even stronger than before. And that's our goal. That's our job. And if we fail at doing that, we need to say it's not maybe just our fault, but maybe it's a problem within the body of Christ. But, you know, Jesus is the head of the church, and he is sorting out his body. And, you know, when we don't act and do what is right, he will come in and he will step in. And so I would rather say now, let us do what is right for our leaders and let us support them in every way possible. We also don't have to prop them up and cause them, yeah, to sit in pride or anything like that. That is not God's heart. But we can treat them with absolute love and grace and gentleness. We've heard of people shouting at leaders, you know.
Yeah.
It's absolutely unheard of, you know. And mistreating people as if they are floor mats. They're not floor mats. The word says, touch not my anointed. Now, he's not talking about someone as a superhero. He's saying, I've called a person for a job and I've given them a purpose. Don't interfere with that. Rather, support it.
Well, never again can you say you did not hear, you did not know. After all, they're,
yes,
human too. They're made of flesh too. Your pastor, your minister, your dominie, your reverend, or your bishop, Pastor Dwayne Foxley, thank you so much for chatting to us here at Brandpunt.
It's such a pleasure and a privilege. May God bless you all.